Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. For tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So honored to have you listening, and if you just tuned in, we are into our second hour here of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We have our good friend Dr. Troy on the show once a month to take your questions. We really have a vision and a purpose for this. We want to see you fully engaged, mind, body, and spirit, in the fullness of health that God has for you, so you can show up in your relationships and your work and the call of God in your life with just robust energy and health. And part of the messaging of Dr. Troy, and I'm 100% this way as well, is there's a personal responsibility aspect of it. I mean, that there are certain tweaks that we need to make to cooperate with our bodies and to listen to our bodies. And we're in such a society that we don't want to do that. We want a pill. We want a shot. But we're saying, can you think differently about this? Because truly, if you want long, sustainable health, your body is created to be healthy, right? I mean, it's like our body wants to be healthy, and we do the right things, our body will help us along.
Yeah, there's an innate healing that occurs, and we just have to get out of our way a lot of times.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
That's basically what our job is, really. My job is to help get rid of the block so the body can heal itself.
So good.
And that's it.
So I got five copies of it's an older book of mine. It's called Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. It's on physical and spiritual health. Just some tangible, practical advice. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. You can also call now. The lines are open with your health questions, 877-933-2484. So Aaron has got the patience of Job. He's been holding it since last hour. He's on the air now. He had another question that was interesting about after having the flu, how you reintroduce foods. But Aaron, I don't know if you wanted to clarify or add to that question in any way.
You know, I would add that I appreciate your show and the time that you're doing here. I just very, very appreciate it. Mm. And I just feel like after that cleansing, it felt like I just didn't really have a clue of, okay, what's good, what's the right thing to put in my body now.
So, great question.
Yeah, I love this question. For me, the biggest thing is generally when you have the flu and you go through that process, it's very, very dehydrating. So the first thing is actually water. And our immune system just basically gets really called to action when it comes to something like this. And remember, our immune system primarily requires water as its main transport. So it's got to have the water to swim in to get from place to place to place. And so we have to replenish our water system. And then after that, just think about all the things that really your immune system likes. So antioxidants are the first thing that comes to mind. Antioxidants you primarily get from fruits and vegetables. So things like vitamin C is a good antioxidant. So one of the best things you can do to reintroduce back into your diet are fruits and vegetables. However, your intestinal tract might be a little bit worked up, a little bit inflamed still. So this is not the time for raw fruits and vegetables. This is the time for cooked vegetables and softer fruits. The reason is because these things have a lot of fiber in them. And if you're, let me say it this way. If you go for a massage and they work on your muscles by rubbing on the muscles and soften them that way, it feels good. It can be very relaxing. However, if you go outside and get a bad sunburn and then go in and have that same rubbing on the muscles, it'll be torture. Fiber's job inside the colon and intestinal tract is to rub up against the intestines. So if they're inflamed, like a sunburn,
great analogy,
then they're going to start contracting and get into trouble. And so raw fruits and vegetables can feel like the flu's coming back, or you can get these other problems. So you want to cook the vegetables and get the softer fruits, and the antioxidants are great for that. Secondly, you do need to build up your resources a little bit. So you need your energy back. You've got to feed your immune system. So complex carbohydrates are very good for that. Whole grains that are tolerated, rice. A lot of people will go to bread because that's the only thing they can eat, a piece of toast. Well, that's okay, but choose a whole grain piece of bread, toast, something that will feed your cells and your body slowly over time. And then you can work into the harder to digest things like proteins and meat. If you know your body and you do well with that, then go ahead and eat it. But build your intestines back up. And we need a lot of prebiotic foods. So during an event like this, we lose a lot of the healthy, good bacteria as well in the digestive tract. And so taking probiotic or eating fermented food eventually after a couple of days is very good. And a lot of legumes are also good, and prebiotic food.
What's prebiotic food?
Prebiotics are basically foods that that the bacteria will eat on and eat off of. So they're have different. You do have a lot of them in the fruits and vegetables and in the legumes, but it's basically little strands that of fiber and things like that that will actually and sugars attached to them that will feed the good bacteria. Natural sugars, polysaccharides.
All right, we've got Julie checking in from Oak Grove. She's got a great question for you. Hey, Julie, you're on the air.
Hi.
How are you?
Thanks. I'm good, and I love your program.
Oh, I'm so glad.
So my husband about 2 years ago was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome. He was fine one day, woke up the next day, and could hardly move, couldn't get out of bed. He was so depressed that he cried a lot. And so, of course, we went through multiple doctors and this and that anyways, and that's what they finally came up with, because we didn't know what the world was going on. And they just said it's just something you have to live with, and it may go away, it may not go away. They wanted to put him on antidepressant tablets, but he's so against that, so he wouldn't do it. So basically, he can be fine for a little while, and then he's right back down in it again. And he says sometimes his arms and his legs feel like he can hardly lift them.
God bless you, Julie, and your dear husband, first of all. I see Dr. Troy just nodding like crazy. He's ready to answer this one, so go ahead.
Yeah, there's definitely you can do something about that. Chronic fatigue is something, there's an answer to it. So I'm assuming there's a lot of assumptions here. I could do a whole 2 hours just on this question, but the reality is there's a lot of things that can cause that. Now, the suddenness of how it came on indicates a couple things. There's either an exposure to a virus or a pathogen, an infectious type agent of some sort. I'm going to guess that they checked for mono and other viruses that might be contributing to that. But I just want to mention that just in case they didn't do that. A parasite from food can do something like that. Intestinal breakdown where they have something called SIBO, small intestinal bowel overgrowth, that usually happens a little slower, but he may have just hit a level of depletion with his adrenal glands and woke up that way. Also, a sleep disorder can cause that. I've never had a chronic fatigue patient not have a sleep disorder. So it's very important to identify the sleep disorder. I'm assuming they did some type of sleep study and looked for sleep apnea. Well, there's a lot of other sleep disorders out there. In fact, there's over 70, and in some of the universities, Stanford actually has listed over 100 with a bunch of different divisions. And many of them fall in the same categories, but one in particular, upper airway resistance syndrome, is very common with men. And so it can be anything from neck tension and just sleeping wrong can actually trigger that whole process. So if the neck muscles are tight or tense at the base of the skull, that could be part of the problem as well. When he went to sleep one night and just moved the wrong way in his sleep, that can actually impact the muscles that go to those nerves that support the airway while in deep sleep. And so it's important to look at the sleep disorder part of it. The other thing is actually getting a measurement of the adrenal glands and the hormones is crucial. And I'm not talking about the blood test. In functional medicine, we do saliva where we can actually look at the pattern over a 24-hour period. And that will tell us at what stage he's at. And if the arms and legs are going that numb, that tells us, or that weak, that tells us he's in already, right now, fight or flight state. Something is triggering a fight or flight state. If he wasn't stressed before, then the sleep disorder is the number one component. But what happens is when you get into that state, you start to develop food sensitivities, food reactions. And if he's good for a couple of days and then bad again, he's building his reserve slowly. So that tells you it's still working, but he just needs the right things to be done. Identify the food allergies, find and fix the sleep disorder, which that's actually what my next book is going to be on, is on this particular sleep disorder, and start to look at, is there a hidden infection in the intestinal tracts or sometimes in the nasal passages?
I just got to say, Julie, I have to just share with you, this was one of my issues. So I had the saliva test and my cortisol level was almost a straight line, and I was having it made all this old Lyme stuff and neurological stuff flare like you can't believe. And I felt just so exhausted and like I'd been hit by a truck. And Dr. Troy was a coach and a doctor for me. And I bet you I'm 85% back to normal. I feel my zest. I feel my snark coming back. That's what he says anyway. He's like, the snarkometer is flying. And anyway, I wanted to say that just in case. What if Julie's husband was misdiagnosed? What if this is adrenal fatigue and these are all secondary issues? This is something that, first of all, if it is, you must treat, because you could really do some harm to yourself, but you can have hope that you can recover from.
Yeah, definitely. And really, chronic fatigue is the same thing as third stage adrenal fatigue. And there's a chronicity to it. And so it can be addressed. There is always a cause. Some of the infections are really hard to identify and find, but there are ways to track them down.
So I rarely say this. I don't think I've ever said it in all the times Dr. Troy's been on the show. But I'm telling you, Julie, I hope you can get your husband in to see Dr. Troy. I believe that this could be a turnaround for him. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I've got a number of other questions. I got one coming from a loved one, a family member of mine, who used to be a drug addict and an alcoholic. And then he got radically saved, but he started to use that Afrin, that stuff that clears your sinuses, for years and got kind of addicted to it. Got off of that, and now every night he lays down, bam, his sinuses are just, he can barely breathe. He wants to know what to do, and Dr. Troy has an answer for him, as well as a number of the other calls that have come in who've left us questions. We got plenty, but we'd still love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. And I've got 5 copies of Balance That Works When Life Doesn't, if you're in the mood for a physical spiritual health book. Email to get in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a fantastic conversation, as we do every single month when we talk with Dr. Troy. We've got him in studio. It's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We've got loads of questions to work our way through. We're doing our best to get through them in a timely manner, but we always want to keep the phone lines open in case you want to talk to Dr. Troy on your own. 877-933-2484. So I set up the question. It's actually my brother, and he's given me permission to share the story, Dr. Troy. And I love my brother. He went through a time where he was an alcoholic, and then he became addicted to drugs. And then he was a trucker on the road. He was not doing the drug thing anymore, but he started to use Afrin to clear his sinuses for years, I believe. He doesn't do any of that anymore. He was radically saved. He's just an amazing guy. But every single time he puts his head on the pillow, his sinuses absolutely plug up and he can barely breathe, and then they clear during the day again. Is there anything he can do, or is he something he have to live with?
It may be something he has to live with. It depends on if the integrity is still okay. And so if the integrity is fine, meaning that the tissue is still there and can be worked with, then we've got something we can actually work on. The two things that come to mind if the integrity is good is N-acetylcysteine. Number one, so taking NAC, it's called, right before bed, it's a mucolytic, and so it'll actually help break up and decrease the amount of mucus there. The second thing is to fix the lining, and one of the things that is the best for that type of tissue is grapeseed extract. And so taking that, it'll take 6 to 12 months to actually make a difference, so you have to be consistent with it. But grapeseed extract is another one that'll help the fine lining of the nasal passages. Now, if there's just an imbalance there, sometimes there's structural imbalance still, but with that history, my concern would be actual integrity in the tissue itself has been damaged. The layers of the mucosal lining have been worn away, if there's any holes, pockets, or anything like that. It goes away when he's upright and moving around, so that tells us there's not anything that's chronic there. So it's really a scenario of trying to heal the lining and decrease the amount of mucus production.
What was the first thing you said he should take, and where does he get that?
And any health food store, the nutrition store, and N-acetylcysteine.
Okay.
And then grape seed extract.
Okay, very good. Okay, this one is from a dear listener who says, okay, essentially the question is, what role does perimenopausal or menopausal hormone changes play in diagnosing possible new food sensitivities or new symptoms of illness? I'm a 46-year-old woman, fairly healthy all my life, besides a diagnosis of asthma in my early 20s. Since then, I've been on a corticosteroid. No food or medication allergies or sensitivities I'm aware of. For about 2 years, I've started dealing with excessive nasal drainage down the back of my throat, productive cough, seeing 4 Western medicine professionals. They continue to see my asthma as a problem, but I disagree with that. I saw a chiropractor kinesiologist who diagnosed it as a fungal infection in my sinuses. I've been trying different supplements to eliminate it for over a year with no luck. I've at the same time developed what I believe is perimenopausal, something like sleeplessness for about a year, excessive bloating, gastric reflux, weight gain. Wondering if I could benefit from a visit to a functional med doc if some of my issues, or do I just need to wait this out till menopause kind of passes?
Yeah, great question. And it may actually get better as menopause passes. I think the chiropractor was onto something there because the funny thing is you need both the chiropractor and medical doctor in this one because generally speaking, we do find that that scenario is fungal, something in particular called Marcon's. So what you can do just to verify it is look up Marcon's, and I believe you can go to Marcon's.com, but you can order a lab test that you can do at home and take a sample and send it in, and it'll tell you if it's an antibiotic-resistant bacteria or fungal. And if it comes back positive, then you know what you're dealing with at least. Now, the challenge is a lot of the oral supplements that we take to try and combat it aren't effective. And so what we actually use in our clinic, we'll use an actual bag spray with a combination of antibiotics that are not, it's not resistant to, or antifungals with some natural oils and things that, that kill it off. And even with that, it can take 30 days or so to get rid of. But that's probably the right track. So you need the medical doctor and the chiropractor here both to work together. If you come in with a positive test, the medical doctor will probably be able to write you a prescription that is more accurately going to get take care of it. Now, why this happened in the first place, a lot of times with premenopause, we start to see the hormone, the estrogen starts to go down. Your adrenal glands have to become the organ that take over the function of producing the estrogen. They get stressed out. And we can start to crave more foods. We do put on more, I say we, I mean women, because it's been a while since I've had a male patient go through menopause. Yes, that's right. So that's when women tend to put on weight because there's now an imbalance in the hormones. And that those that hormonal imbalance will impact your digestive system a lot. And the lining of the digestive tract gets very, very thin. So just like we were talking about with your brother, where we have to thicken that lining, grapeseed extract is very good for that. Glutamine is an amino acid that's very good for that. But your whole system has become more sensitive. So things that you used to be tolerant of, like coffee, the acidity of coffee, the stomach won't be able to handle that. Sugar, it won't be able to handle that. Tomato sauces, red sauces, it won't be able to handle that. Spicy food, same thing. So you have to really replenish the good bacteria and the lining of the digestive tract with things like glutamine, proflavanil C, or grapeseed extract, and start to rebuild that lining up because it will be like that until you're fully through the menopause.
Wow, thank you so much for that. This anonymous listener says, my husband's overweight. I noticed he's having inflammation on the top of his knee. Are there any other natural remedies to alleviate this?
Well, yeah, the overweight thing is a strikingly obvious thing to comment on as far as just lose weight, and that'll help. But usually when we have that scenario with the knees in particular, the muscles, the quads, they become weakened and problematic when we have food reactions, when we have an inflamed intestinal tract. So those are the muscles we actually test to measure the level of inflammation in the intestinal tract. And specifically, when you add any type of sugar, cortisol imbalance, the muscle behind the knee, it's called the gastroc, will get very, very tight and spasm. I've worked with, I'm always behind the knee checking the muscle tone there, because that tells us quite a bit of the level of muscle tension in and around the knee. And if that is really tight, it doesn't allow for proper circulation as well. So bad combination to have a very tight gastroc, which happens with stress, inactivity, and overconsumption of sugar, and weak quad muscles, which happens, which you do get from intestinal inflammation from food allergies or other infections.
Wow. Okay. We've got a couple of minutes left here before the bottom of the hour break. Let's say a word if we can. I see some more calls coming in. I see a number of these questions where folks called in and left their question. We'll get to those on the other side if we can here. But when someone starts taking a probiotic and they start to feel sinus pressure and they start to feel body aches, should they back off the dosage? Should they? Are there other things they can do, like an Epsom salt bath and more fluids, or what would you suggest?
Well, first of all, is to some people actually have increased head pressure. A lot of probiotics are actually made in a base of milk. And so, people have dairy sensitivities. You have to make sure that the probiotic is dairy free. So a lot of what they do to feed the good bacteria might be an allergen. So that's first and foremost. If that's okay, then yeah, you want to back off a little bit and then slowly build it up, so you don't have that pressure as much. And same thing, add fiber. So when you add fiber in just small amounts, the more you can get the probiotics built up and the bowels moving fully, then you'll actually start to see a little decrease in that sinus pressure.
Very, very good. Okay, I see those calls coming in, 877-933-2484. In fact, I think we're going to grab Rita checking in from Boone, Iowa, and we may have to take this on the other side of the break here, but I think we could. Rita, you're on the air. You got just a little bit of time here to ask the question. If you can hang on to listen for Dr. Troy, that'd be great.
Okay, that sounds good. Basically, what we were dealing with is we have a son that's 18 years old, and in the last couple years, we found out that he had ectopic pancreas, atrophic gastritis, and just this summer, EOE, which is eosinophilial something-something esophagitis.
Bless his heart.
And, pardon?
I said bless his heart, but keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, he's having a challenge, and I just got into the last couple seconds of the adrenaline issue, and I was wondering if perhaps some of what he's going through isn't possibly affected by the adrenaline gland.
Okay, we're going to pause here for a hard break. And Rita, I hope you can hang on. If not, I know Dr. Troy's got enough information at least, right? Do you need to have any follow-up questions you think you may have? I think he can take it from here, but we'd love to have you stay on if you can. Call us 877-933-2484 if you want in on the book drawing. Susie at myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your address. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. That was one of those songs I had on repeat during the hardest parts of my summer, just determined to find my joy in the midst of stuff that was bumming me out. If you are just bummed, frustrated, just tired of being sick and tired, you are listening at the right time. This is why we bring Dr. Troy in once a month, because there are things, there are answers that God has for you. There's help that's out there for you, and there are choices that you can make. There is a way where there seems to be no way. And we've got just another two segments left with our good buddy, Dr. Troy. Give us a call if you've got a question, 877-933-2484. 2484. And we collect these. I know a number of you have maybe called in. Maybe if we don't get to your question, we're saving them over, and hopefully, Lord willing, we'll get them next month. So Rita checked in from Boone, Iowa. We've got her. She was able to hold. And Rita, why don't you restate your question? Because I know some just hop in their car at this time and maybe didn't hear your question. Nope, we don't have her anymore. You remember the question, right?
Yes. Yeah. So Rita, the scenario with the ectopic pancreas, there's not much we can do with that. But what we want to look at is what's functioning, what's not. So we don't want to fall in the trap of everything that he has going on is because of that. So you're thinking that the adrenal glands might be part of it. That's very, very true. With the diagnosis of EoE, it's very, very, I want you to think of it like there's a confused immune system. So one part of the white blood cells is constantly attacking the lining of the esophagus. And so with that, we treat that like an autoimmune scenario or a confused immune system. And it's important to look at all the different factors. Adrenal gland dysfunction is one thing that definitely can help contribute to that. So with that, I look at always the main things of the immune system. His vitamin D has got to be high normal. So around 80 is where we want to see it. That's the main manager of the immune system. Sometimes the eosinophils will actually increase a little bit when you start getting the vitamin D up. But then you have to work on regulating the immune system. So omega-3 oils, fish oils are another big thing. And then a main antioxidant called glutathione. Those are your three main protectors or guiders, if you will. That's another good word, guiders, of the immune system. And so that's very, very important to start to get the immune system back on track. Now, if the pancreas is still functioning or whatever level of the pancreatic dysfunction is there, that has to be measured along with the liver and the adrenal glands, and then digestion. With high eosinophils, there's also a chance of parasitic infection or bacterial imbalances or allergies in the environment that are triggering a lot of this, especially for the esophagus. He might be breathing certain things in. So making sure that that's all being tested so that you can avoid it as much as possible until you correct the underlying scenarios. This is it's a very large project, if you will, as far as identifying all of the different potential triggers that could be out there. But environmental allergens, food allergens are a big part of it. Managing the adrenal stress, making sure he's sleeping properly. Balanced blood sugar and hormones are a part of it. And then chemical toxicity, vitamin D, estrogen, polymorphisms, or problems with metabolizing your hormones or using your vitamin D are also commonly associated with this. So you really have to look at all of them at the same time to then move forward and manage them. That's the challenge with this type of scenario, not knowing what the ectopic pancreas really presents as far as challenges. So I just encourage you to keep working on identifying all of those areas of imbalance, and you can start working with the adrenals right away and improve function.
We'll take Lori from Columbia Heights in just a moment, but a quick question about this. I've heard you, Dr. Troy, talk about stage 3 adrenal fatigue. I've heard others call it stage 4. And can you clear up that for me? Because I've heard some say I have stage, not me, but they themselves have stage 4. And you say, is stage 4 death? Or
yeah, that's yes. In private, exactly. Jokingly, I say that is death.
Okay.
And in my, so I don't know. It's a different classification system. I'm not familiar with the 4 stages. So maybe someone wrote about that, or there's a lab that measures it now in 4 stages. I've always seen it as 3 stages and use it that way. So, I don't think there would be a difference between stage 3 or stage 4 with that particular individual. So
interesting. Okay.
Or some people just like their stage 3 to be a little bit worse than other
that
people's
ain't
stage
nothing.
3. That ain't nothing.
5. I got stage 5. Okay. Just kidding. Sorry. Lori's checking in from Columbia Heights and she's got a question. Hey, Lori.
Hi, doctor. My mother is 80 years old. She just had hip surgery and now back surgery. She's recuperating here slowly in a rehab center, and yet her stomach is so bloated. And I was wondering if, like, a new biotic would help her or anything else you could recommend, please.
Well, potentially. There's a lot of factors there. But, digestive enzymes and probiotics are the first two that I would look at starting with. she might be it depends if she's reacting to any medications, not like a negative reaction, but the liver has to metabolize and break down these meds, and so that can slow down the digestive function where you don't get quite enough bile and you don't digest food as well. So she might need most likely digestive enzymes or ox bile or something that helps break down the fats. It depends how much she's eating and what she's eating. Try and keep the food easy to digest food. Sometimes, this is not a slam, my wife works in the hospital system, but sometimes their food is not the most healthy, I'm going to say. And so you want to try and support her digestive system as much as possible. Digestive enzymes, probiotics are the two places I'd start.
Thanks for that call, Lori. All right. This dear listener says, after having my daughter in May 2016, I noticed I had a lump in my throat. Had a family history of thyroid cancer, so I went into the doc, had my levels checked. My TSH was 21. Normal levels is 1 to 4. I also had an ultrasound, and there was no finding of cancer, but they're unsure of why it's so enlarged. I've been started on medication. Would love to know your thoughts. I know a lot of people suffer from this. Thank you.
Yeah, the first thought is autoimmune disease, where you have antibodies against the transport protein for the actual thyroid. So a lot of times, if your own immune system is attacking the transport vehicle, then the thyroid's job is to stimulate the nearest cell. And if it's not being transported away, then it'll go back and stimulate the thyroid gland itself because that's the nearest cell. So the test to ask for is there's two. There's TPO antibodies and TGA antibodies. And it's the TGA antibodies that really can cause a problem with this. And then the transport antibodies, I'm actually forgetting the name of it right now. It's the thyroid, I think it's the thyroid. Someone call in or something and say which one it is. Come on, Dr. Susie, help me on this one.
You're on your own this
it's
one.
The thyroid transport antibody. That's the one that if you have antibodies against it, then you'll start to get the enlargement or the inflammation, and your TSH will go through the roof because your cells in your body are telling the brain that it doesn't have any thyroid. Meanwhile, the thyroid gland is making a ton of it. It's just not getting to the body because the transport globulin is not working. So it's almost always an autoimmune against the transport vehicle that I can't remember the name of right now.
There you go. That's perfect. All right. We've got Seal, I believe, checking in from St. Paul. Seal, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am actually calling about a situation with my son who has problems with depression and anxiety, and when he gets depressed, he doesn't eat. So he doesn't get the nutrition that he needs. He sometimes starves himself for more than a day at a time. He has issues with just being extremely tired and worn out and not having any energy at all. And I'm sure that's in part because of the irregularity in the way he eats. I know that when he was checked for vitamin D about 2 years ago deficiency, they found out that he had half of what the minimum is. I think he had 17 and it's supposed to be 30 or something like that. It was way low. So I'm just trying to find out what things that maybe I could give him or help him to eat that would help to take care of that. Because I really think that part of the depression is due to the low vitamin D as well, and maybe some other things, but I'm just not sure what to do with them.
Yeah, the vitamin D is a very, very important part of this. Seasonal affect disorder or depressive, it's a depressive seasonal disorder. It comes from the lack of sunlight, which is needed to actually get and increase your vitamin D. So make sure that we actually, in functional medicine, we want your vitamin D up around 50. 50 to 80 is the range in functional medicine. So 17 is quite deficient and definitely can play a factor with overall mood. when anxiety is part of it as well, that's an area of the brain that called the basal ganglia. It sets the tone for muscles and emotions. And a lot of times there's a chemical imbalance with that, with dopamine and serotonin. Now, a lot of the serotonin is made in the digestive tract. And so when sleep is a part of it as well, serotonin is converted to melatonin, the deep sleep hormone. And the feeling of being satisfied with food is also serotonin. So what you described was a lot of serotonin-type scenarios. And so that tells me there's most likely intestinal inflammation that's decreasing his serotonin. Hmm. Now, I can't give you exact recommendations because I don't have everything in front of me, but 5-HTP is something that's been used in the past to raise serotonin levels. There is a scenario, if he has any sort of attention deficit component with this, there is a scenario called PANDAS syndrome, where it's a strep infection in the digestive tract that depletes serotonin and causes anxiety. And when the anxiety goes long term, that'll eventually become a depression. Anxiety and depression kind of go up.
Interesting.
So that is, you have to verify that with lab work and a few other things. And it could be other stuff too. There could be monovirus or other stuff that's playing into it. I will say this, wheat sensitivities, we've seen in our clinic that people with wheat sensitivities can develop depression. If there's a family history of alcoholism, then I would suspect wheat being a scenario, which depletes the dopamine, and the inflammation from that is setting up the serotonin problem, or something like a PANDA syndrome where the infection is setting up the serotonin problem. So it'll be one of those areas. Keep the vitamin D levels up, and we'll have people on. I'm not sure what your dosage you were recommended, but a lot of times the dose is just way too low as far as what's recommended in scenarios like this. And they'll say, well, take 2,000 IUs a day. And it's really one of those things where we'll put people on 10,000 IUs a day for a month just to get it up to the regular levels, and then 4,000 IUs just to maintain it. So that gives you a bit of an idea.
But it has to be a clean version, right?
Yes. Yeah, as much as possible.
Yeah. We're going to pause here. Steele, thanks for that call. I wish you God's best, you and your son. And may God just heal and restore. And I pray some of this practical advice will make all the difference in the world. We've got one segment left. Time for a couple more calls, maybe. 877-933-2484. Got 5 copies of Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. It's on physical and spiritual health. It's one of my older books, but I brought them in for you today. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Who he says we are. Love that. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a great time chatting with Dr. Troy. We have him on every month for Health and Healing with Dr. Troy, doing our best to get you some practical answers to your health questions. Like we say all the time, we want you to show up in your life, in your family, in your God-given calling with the best health possible. And so often, we just need some tweaks. We need to make some changes to diets and supplements and sleep habits and those kinds of things. Doing our best to answer your questions today. I should say Dr. Troy is doing his best. I'm just cheering you guys along. 877. I'm not really a doctor. I just play one on radio. 877-933-2484. Janet's checking in from St. Louis Park. Hey, Janet, you're on the air.
Hi.
How are you today?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. What's your question for Doc today?
Well, I just diagnosed myself with a condition called lipedema, and it was confirmed by a physician. It is actually a fat storage disorder. It doesn't respond to exercise or calorie restriction. What happens is you retain fat in your legs from like your iliac crest of your hip on down to just above the ankle. I'm wondering if Dr. Troy knows anything about it, if he has any ideas or if any treatments are available.
Are you talking about lymphedema or lipodema?
Lipedema, L-I-P. EDMA.
Okay, so with fat storages, if it's in around the hips, so here's the interesting thing. I'm not familiar with the term, but based on your description, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we see and we know. Generally speaking, when women gain weight of any type in that area, it's almost always what we call estrogen weight. So these women are almost always estrogen dominant, and it's the first and last weight that gets taken off. And so there's two things I've seen that works, and I don't know if this will work with the lipedema part of it, but if you're getting fat storage, we've worked with that and dealt with that. There is a weight loss program called HCG. It's a HCG program will help to pull some of that weight off first, the fat. And what it does is it's a hormone imbalance, so it mobilizes the hormones to actually start to burn that fat first. Now, and secondly, there is these sticks and machines that are made to break up the myofascia in that area to improve the circulation. When you improve the circulation, it really helps start to break up that area and actually use the fat for energy. So those are the two scenarios. Now, I will say the myofascial blaster, which is, I think, one of the products on the market that is used for this. I think it's called the fascial blaster, sorry. So the fascial blaster is used, and there's videos on YouTube and stuff you can look into it, but you literally rub that on your legs, and it hurts. A lot of the women that have done it talk about how painful it is, but it breaks the tissue down, and when you look at the fascia, it gets all stuck in there, and you will bruise, but after about a month, the bruising stops, and you start to burn that fat.
Amazing.
Yeah, it works really well. So those are the two scenarios. So sometimes you have to do both. Sometimes you have to do just one. But and I don't know if that'll work for your scenario, just because I'm not familiar with the term. But it sounds like you're describing something that we've dealt with, that we work with. We just don't call it that.
How does that differ? I mean, it's probably very different, but what do you think of Cool Sculpting? Have you heard of that?
Yep.
What do you think of that?
Well, it's different. This is much more, painful and aggressive as far as just the breaking down using the stick. And then the HCG is more of a hormone balancing.
Interesting.
Scenario.
Okay, we've got an anonymous caller. We got the whole call screen pretty much is lighting up again, and we literally have about 6 minutes, so I'm quite sure we won't get to all of these, but let's just try. Anonymous friend, you're on the air.
Hi. I have been dealing with flaky stools after going on the anti-inflammatory diet, and I feel better and my joints feel better, but I'm experiencing flaky stools. Is that a health issue?
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think that's a health issue per se, but it is a sign that more work needs to be done. So one of the things that I would look at is other sources of bulking fiber to put in there, and then just keep working on the bacteria. It's generally a sign that as long as the intestinal tone is okay, it should be fine. And eventually, ultimately, you want more formed stool. But do a little abdominal massage and just look for any levels that any areas that are really tense or maybe hurting. If they're spasmed, go ahead and do a massage to loosen that, because there might be some blockage there, and that might be contributing. As long as the bowel's in the right place and you're consistent, they should eventually become formed and much better. So it's a sign. It's not the end of the world, and it's not a bad health-related disorder, but it is a sign that things aren't quite 100% right. But it is something we do see when you make those changes.
All righty. We've got Luke checking in from Eden Prairie, and I'm thinking this might need to be our last call, but let's just see what happens. Hey, Luke, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just had a question. So I'm a college student, and I wanted to make some extra money by donating plasma. And I know you can do it up to, like, twice a week, I think, is their limit. And I was just wondering if that can be bad for your body, or if it matters at all, or just, yeah, what you think about that.
Number one, I kind of smirk because a lot of my friends did this, and I know people that continue to do this. And so I would say I've not seen personally anything wrong, as long as everything else is pretty healthy. So the really you don't know until you do it, and you should recover appropriately. So if you find that you're not recovering properly, you're a little bit more fatigued, you just really pay attention to that. And they will do certain tests as well to make sure that you're okay. If you've got certain scenarios, you won't be able to donate. So most people I've seen, and I'm not an expert in this at all, but most people I've seen have done well with it. But also, you have to make sure you are taking care of your body, because you have to be able to recover from something like that. You need your plasma. Listen to your body is the best guidance I can give you.
I think we can get a short answer to Ellie's question from Lake Elmo. So let's go to Ellie from Lake Elmo. Hey, Ellie, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I was wondering, how do you know what probiotic to choose?
Oh, that's a tough question, actually. So I don't actually recommend any one probiotic. I tell people to, if you're looking at supplements, to pick and choose from different brands. Try and pick one that has a good reputation, that is guaranteed live strains. That's the most important thing. If you can have anything that's guaranteed live strains, then it's going to be good. And then just pick and choose and mix it up a little bit. We actually want multiple different strains. So there really isn't a bad answer to this, as long as it is actually live and not dead, which is the biggest challenge. A lot of times they'll sell products and they're not guaranteed live, and that's just basically useless to us then.
And also the idea, like, I have gluten, dairy, and soy intolerance, and I've taken probiotics, felt sick, and looked on the label. There it was, you know, milk or soy. So that is something maybe if they start taking it and they start to feel crummy, maybe to pay attention to.
Yeah, 100%. And also try and get it from fermented food if you can, if that sits well with you from your diet.
Yeah, you're a big proponent of, what's it called?
Kombucha.
And there's that other food. It's stringy and
vicky. Sauerkraut.
There it is.
Yeah, that's my favorite food. Yeah,
yeah. And why is that good for you again?
Because of the probiotics.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know if I've ever eaten it.
Oh,
ever.
Really? I put it on my salads. I put it on everything.
Wow.
Yep.
That's my homework. Okay, we're going to pray here, and we'll get you back here next month, right? So you're going to take a nice, much-needed break with your dear wife. And
yes.
I'm going to pause and pray now, if I could, for you listening today, that God would give you wisdom about what's your part, what's God's part, and maybe just action you need to take, maybe see a doc like Dr. Troy, but that you get a vision for what God has for you in your health. Lord, I just pray for that friend listening today, and I pray wisdom would just download even this moment after listening to this conversation. Maybe you give them just clarity about sleep habits, Lord, about choices in the diet, about even how they process fears and wounds and anxiety. I pray, God, you put them right where they're thinking wrong. I pray you'd help them lose their taste for that which weakens them, Father. And I pray you give them a fresh vision for what is possible when we cooperate with you, Lord. We do our part and we trust you for your part. I also pray blessing on Dr. Troy and Christine, that you would bless them on all sides, give them health, give them rest, give them replenishment. I want to thank you, Father, for their amazing staff who work so tirelessly behind the scenes, so committed to the health and well-being of people. I pray you'd encourage them and their life, protect them, bless their families. And I just pray, God, that we together would rise up and be all you intended us to be, that we would live by faith. And we just thank you, God, for this freedom to live the kind of lives you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. We are your sons. We are your daughters. Hallelujah. We are who you say we are. So we lift our hands and cry, Abba Father. Hallelujah. We are who you say we are. Hallelujah. We are who you say we are. Wow, great show. Boy, thanks so much, Dr. Troy. Love having you. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Suzy Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this, too. The Lord wants you. He does. He wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll help you. He'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. We'll meet you back here next time.